Welcome to The Firm Report.
Hi, and thank you for joining us for another episode of The Firm Report. Today we have Sterling Eves with the Eves Law Firm. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. So your law firm, essentially, it's a family business, huh?
Absolutely. So we started in 1963. We're third generation now, and I've got a three-year-old who may be fourth generation. So yeah.
So three generations in. So I would imagine in the household, you're growing up with a little bit of...
It was obnoxious, yeah.
So, in what regard?
In so many ways. So my grandfather was a personal injury, family law attorney. My dad started in 1990. He took it international. And then I started 2 years ago in 2024. But I married a beautiful woman named Lizzie. Okay. And both of her parents are defense lawyers. So we...
Oh, really?
House divided, yeah.
House divided, yeah. The plaintiff's side. And I would not want to be there for decisions that have to be made.
Sure, yeah. It was... It's a beautiful mix. We've got a beautiful family. So
that's quite awesome. That's quite awesome. And so a bit about your practice. So you guys are on the cutting edge, it seems, you know, practicing in the nil arena.
Sure. Yeah. So we actually it's really interesting that how we got into it. We kind of fall into these different cases sometimes. And so we actually had a fire at our office.
Really?
It burned down one of our buildings. And so we actually had some local football players who were doing part-time work, and they came in into the office and were telling us about this settlement that was about to go through.
Uh-huh.
And we fell into it, and they were not offering them enough money. So we said, all right, we'll opt you out, and we'll bring a different action in Colorado. So we're litigating it now. So
really? So nil is, I mean, that's the biggest breakthrough in college sports.
Sure.
I think it saved college sports in a lot of ways, especially college basketball, because the guys were entering the draft early and just became uncompetitive. And now you have the NFL, you know, the college football players being paid and essentially operating almost like they're professionals before they even enter the league. So this is like, I would say it's a real niche that's just really starting to blossom.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So what's beautiful about this space is, you know, if we have this, this evolution of sports, and it's a huge shift. It's actually in a lot of ways the best possible scenario, because you've got players who, before NIL, you get hurt, you spent your entire life to try to get to college, and to make it to the NFL, but to potentially get paid. I like to call them modern day gladiators, you know, with the hope of getting out, but many of them don't. And so you've got these defense lawyers and these companies, the NCAA and the conferences, complaining about the NIL because it's out of their control. To me, as long as the product on the field is the same or better, you're saying, they've got nothing to complain about.
Oh,
absolutely nothing to complain about.
It's upping the ante of the game. It's just, it's another evolution. It's what AI has done to the reality of humanity. But, you know, it's like you said, they're modern day gladiators. And, you know, what's interesting, though, is the individuals you're representing, and they're basically exiting high school. So they might, they're at 18, or is there their parents you're talking to, or how does that work?
So most of our clients are not actually playing currently in college.
Okay.
They played anywhere from 2016 to 2024, 2025. We do have some current players.
Yeah.
But most of them, because NIL really developed in 2020, 2021, 2022, so you've got players that played before that are still within their statute of limitations that were not compensated. Because now, you know, you've got this evolving atmosphere. They're trying to figure out legislatively what to do with it.
Okay.
And so our players are primarily pre-2024, pre-2025 players.
Interesting. And I guess, you know, where does their ability to get compensation essentially kind of like play? Like, how does that work, or what exactly is the structure of what you're doing?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can make money on NIL. You think of your local burger shop, okay? They want a player to come by and shoot a commercial. They should be able to do that. Also, these schools, there's something called revenue sharing. And so they should be able to pay part of the revenue money they're getting from TV deals and whatnot to their players to be able to bring them in. And so there's a lot of different, I'll call buckets that they can get compensation from. So some within the school, some outside the school.
And then, you know, unfortunately, with the level of competition that these guys are engaged in, you know, the injuries and essentially, you know, the inability sometimes to reach the professional level as a result of something that happened while they're playing at these different stages is what you all are doing. I assume it's going to create a new type of structure reform, hopefully, for...
I would hope so. That's the goal. And they're talking about it. There's a SCORE Act that's been passed around several times in Congress. But my favorite, there was a 30 for 30 documentary on a guy named Marcus Dupree. I'm from Mississippi. I think he grew up in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But the documentary is titled The Best That Never Was, or something to that effect. And the idea is that he was going to be, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
But he got injured in college, and he just never capitalize on his talent and his work. A lot of these guys start working when they're 8 years old, 9 years old. They start competing. They start focusing on these things. They could have been anything else. They could have been a lawyer. They could have been a doctor. But they chose athletics because they were gifted in athletics. And a lot of them don't get paid for the work their life has been invested in. It's really a tragedy.
That's absolutely incredible, though, that you all are able to assist them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess back to the plaintiffs and how the structure works.
Sure.
The parents are usually very involved in the child athletes, or how does that work? Or is it typically the athlete reaching out, or who's doing the research and the diligence to?
Sure.
Because the challenge is awareness, I think.
Sure. The awareness was done primarily by the class action.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And so there was notice requirements to the class. For us, we did have some parents reach out, but most of our plaintiffs are over the age of 20.
Okay.
Now. And so they're adults. They're reaching out to us directly. It's not necessarily working through parents. Now, their parents obviously, you know, invested their lives to be able to raise their children, to be able to do these things.
Oh, for sure.
And so they're still involved, and we want to nurture that relationship and help them to do what's best for our client. Because that's when I get into a room, I've got, you know, a parent, an aunt, I've got an agent, I've got me as their lawyer, and we're all focused on the same thing. How can we assist best to help this player succeed in whatever he's doing or she's doing?
That's quite a story as to how your firm got involved. So how, I guess, beyond your base in Jackson, Mississippi, how far reaching is this at the moment?
So I can't say too much. I mean, I don't want to disclose anything, but it's all public. But we've got players from Miami to Los Angeles.
From Miami, Florida?
Yep.
So the entire country, basically. Yep. And can you disclose how big the class is, or?
It's not a class. So we actually opted out of the class because the class was offering them what we would call pennies on the dollar.
Gotcha.
And so we had a lot of people reach out to us, but in our evaluation, we would recommend to opt out or to not opt out based on our monetary evaluations of their claims, what they could have made in today's market.
Understood.
And right now we've got about 309 plaintiffs consolidated. They're all direct actions, but they're consolidated in Colorado. So we're litigating Colorado.
Wow. And I guess stemming from this action, has it evolved other opportunities when it comes to the NIL for your firm?
Not quite yet. I know exactly what the next emerging landscape is going to be. It's going to be these denials of NIL petitions. So now they've put together this committee that reviews NIL. They're still violating the antitrust law, Sherman law, the Sherman Act. And so that's going to be the next action that occurs is, hey, I petition the NCAA and their commission to approve my NIL, and they denied me. And so that's going to be the next wave of this NIL actions.
Interesting. You all are definitely, I would say, creating a whole new landscape and, representing a voice that needs to be heard and a story that needs to be told.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the worst case scenario is they spend their entire lives to get ready to go to college. And I've said this already.
Yeah.
And they're freshmen. They're not compensated. They have an okay year. They're about to be the starter. They're really amazing. They have an ACL tear. Okay. You have a whole year of recovery. They come back as a junior. They're hyped. They're going to be really strong, really good. And then they have an ankle tweak or a hamstring injury. And then you're a senior and you can't get drafted and you don't have many options. And so that is kind of the worst case scenario. And what really brought us into this case is that they're not compensated. They're modern day gladiators, like I like to say.
Yeah.
Not many people like that saying, but I like that saying.
It is the truth. I mean, if you've ever had the opportunity to step onto the field, these guys make the ground shake.
Yeah.
You can hear the hits, unfortunately, from hundreds of feet away.
And we all benefit. I mean, we all are entertained. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's an amazing sport. We don't just represent football players. We also represent softball players, baseball players, basketball players. So all similar.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And Sterling, at Exults, we really focus on driving results for our clients. And if you had to share one thing as to like what you're, you know, what drives your results, whether on the personal side or business, what is it?
Sure. I think that if you focus on loving people, that is our whole goal. Okay. I think that's what we're called to do. And so when we see people as image bearers of God, and then we look at them and we see, okay, their lives matter. Mm-hmm. Well, you're just elevating the worth of an individual. And so that's what we try to do at our everyday when you walk down the street and speaking to somebody you don't know, or you have a client coming in and you want to love them by representing them in court. That is our job. So that my wife always says, don't gaze at the results. Like, you're just pursuing justice for individuals. That's my job.
That's awesome. And I love to hear that there's guys like you out there that are definitely focused on justice and, enforcing the legal system and, representing love and bringing it forward. It goes beyond the financial reward that comes with it at some point, but having like a true passion and a purpose, a why to why you're practicing law. That's amazing.
That's our job. It's to put the best case forward, and the results is something we can't always control.
Yeah.
And I always tell my clients that, hey, we're going to do the best we absolutely can. But at the end of the day, it's the judge's decision or it's the jury's decision.
Mm-hmm.
You get good results by pursuing truth and trying to show, defense counsel is going to say that this specific thing is not valuable.
Yeah.
And we're going to say, yes, it is valuable. I heard it from a Morgan & Morgan attorney, sorry to say, but he talked about this plaintiff that he had and her most permanent injury was she couldn't dance anymore. How much value is that if you can't feel that feeling of joy?
And
it's a beautiful thought. And so we try to embody that in our cases.
No, for sure. And the firm you mentioned creates so much awareness for just the rights of individuals that I think they're rising all tide for just legal representation in general. So Sterling, if people want to find you, Eve's Law Firm in Mississippi. Definitely appreciate you making the time today. And thank you for joining us for another episode of The Firm Report.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sterling. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
The Firm Report, brought to you by Exults, a full-service digital marketing agency helping law firms reach new heights.